blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 232, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, to us thy mercy show, and thy salvation now bestow. We wait to hear what God will say. Peace to his people. He will speak, and to his saints. But let them seek no more in folly's path to stray. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 232. Thank you. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the prophecy of Habakkuk, this second chapter. Habakkuk chapter 2. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Habakkuk chapter 2. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Yea, also, because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people. Shall not all these take up a parable against him, and a taunting proverb against him, and say, Woe to him that increaseth that which is not his. How long? And to him that ladeth himself with thick clay, shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee, and awake that shall vex thee, and thou shalt be for booties unto them? Because thou hast spoiled many nations, all the remnant of the people shall spoil thee, because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land, of the city, and of all that dwell therein. Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Thou hast consulted shame to thy house by cutting off many people, and hast sinned against thy soul. For the stone shall cry out of the wall, and the beam out of the timber shall answer it. Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood, and establisheth a city by iniquity. Behold, is it not of the Lord of hosts, that the people shall labor in the very fire, and the people shall weary themselves for very vanity? For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Thou art filled with shame for glory. Drink thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be on thy glory. For the violence of Lebanon shall cover thee, and the spoil of beasts which made them afraid, because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land, of the city, and of all that dwell therein. What profiteth the graven image, that the maker thereof hath graven it, the molten image, and a teacher of lies, that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols? Woe unto him that saith to the wood, Awake, to the dumb stone, Arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Riley Rosendahl, who must go for surgery in Edmonton in this coming week, and also Cole Grisnick, who was just brought to the emergency room this morning. Mr. and Mrs. Harry Vinnie are traveling in these weeks to see her old mother, and Miss Jenny Demboon has returned from the Netherlands. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, We have heard already in this morning of that young child who was brought to the hospital so very quickly. And Lord, Thou knowest his condition. Wilt Thou make it well? And wilt Thou supply all that is necessary for the body? But give to us also an impression of the seriousness of our life also to the boys and girls. When in one moment, then our life that can come so close to death, and we know not our life for one moment. It is so uncertain. And our passing away out of this life, that is so sure. We only know not the day thereof. And Lord, we are such a careless and wretched creatures that we think not upon the day of our death. And we live as the beasts of the world who have no soul. Oh, we live as if we shall live forever. Oh, instruct us. Lord, teach us. Oh, convert us. And cause our eyes to go open while it is still a day of grace. And give Thou us in this day an impression in our poor soul of the seriousness of our life, that we are traveling to a never, never ending eternity, and that we might learn to see that we need to be born again, that we cannot die as we have been born, but that we might seek to be reconciled unto Thee, who art the true and the living God. All we have read out of Thy word, of those who serve the idols of wood and of stone, they are all covered over with gold, but there is no breath in them. They cannot see, they cannot hear, they cannot speak. There is no power in them. And Lord, we are no different by nature. When we seek all the things of the world, and when we make them our gods, but Lord, they cannot help us in the day of our trouble. And they cannot save us from all the things that come against us in our life. And they cannot save us in that day of our death. But Thou art in Thy holy temple. Lord, Thou art the living God. Oh, that we may seek to be reconciled unto Thee, and that Thou would speak unto us and unto our dear children, and leave us not to go our own way. Oh, we will work out our own destruction, Lord, because our heart is bent on evil. It is inclined unto sin, and we cannot do anything that is right and that is good before Thee. And we are guilty the moment that we are coming already into this world by our covenant head, Adam. And we show our agreement with hell and with death as we go through this life, and when we have no desire for Thee and for the knowledge of Thy ways. O Lord, that we may not provoke Thee so to anger that Thou wouldst cut us off and cast us away forever. But wilt Thou stop us upon our mad career? Do turn us from our evil and carnal ways, and draw our hearts, O Lord, to seek Thy face. And whether we are young or middle-aged or older,
that we all have a soul, and we all need that same thing, and we need it for the first time, but we also need it by renewal, because it is also in the heart of thy dear children, in whom thou hast glorified thy grace, that they are cleaving so much to all that is earthly, to all that is here below. Oh, then they need that thou would come also by renewal in their life, to draw them once again, and to bring them with weeping and with supplications. Lord, wilt thou then remember thy own dear people? Oh, they are the apple of thine eye, and thou wilt never leave them, and thou wilt never forsake them. But, oh, thou knowest also their condition here upon this world. Thou hast a church triumphant, and they are above the strife, and there is no touching them by that prince of darkness anymore. But thou hast also a church militant here below, and thou hast said that thou prayest not that they should be taken out of the world, but that they should be kept from the evil. And Lord, they need to be kept from the evil, because they cannot keep themselves. Oh, be on their right and on their left. Be a wall of fire round about them, not only to keep the enemy on the outside away, but to keep that enemy on the inside from living out all that lies within, from bringing thy holy name to shame in the midst of thy church. Wilt thou remember us when we are still unconverted? Lord, oh, come then this day, this blessed Sabbath day, a day that thy word may go out if thou wilt give it once again. Oh, come with thy power on this day that it is instituted by thee for that reason, that thou may increase the number of that multitude that will glorify thee to that never-ending eternity. Oh, thy name, Lord, that will be glorified and that will be honored, even when one sinner should repent this day. Then we can read in thy own word that the heavenly host, they shall rejoice this day around thy holy throne. When one would cry out, carry me out of the battle. Lord, when one would cry out that I am a sinful man, O Lord. Oh, do it then for thy name's sake, and glorify thyself in the midst of us as a little flock. Oh, come thou unto us in mercy, and deal not as we so justly deserve. Look upon that little child that also must go into the hospital in this coming week. Lord, thou knowest the seriousness of this operation that he must receive. Oh, that thou may be on the right and on the left, and that thou may protect him in mercy, that thou may spare his life through this. Strengthen the doctors, oh, guide their hands, that they may do it in a skillful way. Oh, give them the wisdom that is necessary. And oh, could it please thee to gladden the heart of the parents and all of us by thy deeds that thou mayest do. And may it be that thou may also give a new heart unto this child. Oh, his natural heart that is not right, but also that spiritual, in a spiritual way, then it is not right when we are born. Oh, then we need to receive a new heart. Lord, give it yet unto this child in mercy and all of us together. Oh, give to us an impression of our wretchedness and draw us in mercy to thyself. Wilt thou look upon us as a denomination? Wilt thou go before all those that must travel to the synodical meeting that is to be held in this week? Wilt thou give us wisdom also in that meeting? Oh, could it please thee to bless us undeservedly, also as a denomination, and to keep us from going in the wrong way? Oh, Lord, gladden us by thy deeds with what thou wilt perform when we cannot perform it. And wilt thou protect thy truth that it may still be published in the midst of us as a denomination, and that thou would draw us also as thy servants and as office bearers unto thy blessed footstool. Oh, give us that close life with thee that is so necessary to lead the flocks in a right way and in the fear of thy name. Be with all those that travel in the weeks that are to come and bring them safely back again. At thy appointed time we may acknowledge thee, and that thou hast also brought back one from the Netherlands again. Lord, wilt thou humble us under all thy deeds? Thou hast protected all of us together, and we have so little impression of that need when day by day we may be in such dangers in the home and by the way. Oh, humble us under thy goodness. Remember all the afflicted and the sick ones, those that are elderly, those that go over this life alone, and those that need thee in special ways. Oh, supply from above. Lord, go with us in mercy in this morning hour. We are to bring thy word. Oh, who is sufficient for these things? It is a holy word, and we are unholy people. But Lord, wilt thou give thy presence in the midst of us a little opening, a little freedom, and may thou give also especially place to receive it. Oh, that thy presence may be felt, and that thy presence may be experienced, that there may be food in thy house for those who are spiritually alive, and that there may be new life brought forth from the dead. Forgive all that is sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 446, stanzas 1 through 4. Out of the depths of sadness, O Lord, I cried to thee. Thou who canst fill with gladness, lend now thine ear to me. O fount of consolation, attend unto my cry. Hear thou my supplication, and to my help draw nigh. We announce that the extra collection at the last song today will be for the Book and Publishing Fund. Psalter 446, stanzas 1 through 4.
I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. It is congregation once again, Habakkuk. It is the prophet. It is the servant of the Lord. And he is using a similitude. That is, he speaks about being on a watch. And he speaks about a watch tower. You remember, boys and girls, when David had to flee from his son. And then there was also a watch. And then there were those who may speak. They were looking. And they saw immediately when someone was coming toward the city. And then they could say that there was a Cushai coming or Ahimaaz, he was coming. Is then Habakkuk on such a watchtower? No. But Habakkuk, he is doing in essence the same thing. He is looking. He is watching for what? For an answer. For an answer from the Lord, because Habakkuk, he has made his complaint before the Lord. Habakkuk has made his supplication before the Lord. And now Habakkuk, he is watching, he is looking for an answer that may come from the Lord upon his supplication. Is that also what we do? Because we pray, congregation, so often. But how often are we upon our watch? That we are looking, that we are waiting for an answer upon what we have asked the Lord. If our children would ask us, and they would not stay long enough, fathers and mothers, to receive an answer. Oh, then we would think that they did not desire it enough. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. Oh, do we do that too? To be upon the tower. Oh, to seek to be lifted up, to be lifted up above, as it were, all the things of this world, and to seek a place where we may receive a word from above. Habakkuk needed that so much because there was a burden that lay upon his heart. That was a burden that we heard of God's children. But Habakkuk, oh, he needed that also so much because he was a prophet of the Lord. And then he also had to give an answer unto the people, that he needed to know what he should say unto the people. Because, congregation, if the Lord does not teach his servants what to say to us, oh, then we do not know what to say. Do you remember that? What we have asked you to do. We wish, with the help of the Lord, to consider in this morning hour this chapter 2, and then especially from verses 2 and 3, Habakkuk 2. Verses 2 and 3, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So far the words of our text. The vision of Habakkuk. First, the substance of this vision. Second, the appointed time of this vision. And third, the command concerning this vision. The vision of Habakkuk. First, the substance of that vision. Second, the appointed time of that vision. And third, the command concerning this vision. And the Lord answered me. Congregation, who can fathom that? What that is. To receive an answer from the Lord. That is from the Most High God. That is from the God of the heavens and of the earth. When you had written, young people, to the greatest man, the premier, the president, the king in the world, then it would be for us as common people such a wonder when we would say that man, he sent me an answer. And now we read that Habakkuk, he says, and the Lord answered me. That means that there is a communion between heaven and earth. That is such a great wonder, especially when we see what has taken place in paradise. When the Lord has cut off that communion. And when the Lord has placed at that entrance to paradise an angel with that flaming sword. That the Lord could not speak to man. That he could not have him in his communion. And now we read, and the Lord answered me. How is it that communion between heaven and earth, that it has been opened again? That is only through the suffering and the death of the only begotten Son of God. Outside of him, there can be no communion between God and man. No, there can only be the hiding of God. And then what a wonder that is in the life of God's people when that communion that is given once again. And what that is such a wonder, because that people experience what they deserve. They experience what they have done in paradise. And that they themselves have cut off that communion with the Lord. And now Habakkuk, he has been watching. And he has been waiting. And Habakkuk was not put to shame in that which he has asked of the Lord. And that watching which he has done, that has been answered. that is not only for Habakkuk a wonder, but that is a wonder for every one of God's church that may experience this. David has said this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles. That was such a wonder in that heart, in that life of David. Oh, congregation, we hope. We hope that there may be those that have an inner life, that have a life that is before the Lord, that have another life beside that which is evident in this world, but that you may experience something of that blessed communion between God and your soul. All that is the way in which we have been created. That is how it was before our fall. And this is what we have lost in our fall. May the Lord give to us a desire that it may be returned unto us once again. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Thus, the Lord answered Habakkuk by way of a vision. Maybe you say, I wish I could have such a vision. I think that would seem so very real. I think that if I may have a dream, or if the Lord would speak to me in the way of an audible voice, if I could actually see something with my eyes, then I think that would have an impression on me. I think then I could really believe it. Oh, congregation, do not desire it. That was the way that the Lord has worked amongst his people in former times. But it is not the way that the Lord is working in our days. Not that the Lord is not able to work so anymore, because he is the same, but we live in an entirely different dispensation than those days, and it does not please the Lord to speak and to work in this way. How is it that the Lord is then speaking and that he is making his will to be known among his people? That is through his word. And what does the apostle say of that word? He says, we have in that word a more sure word of prophecy. That is, that it is more sure than audible voices. That it is more sure than dreams and more sure than visions. How is that? Because you say, I read the word of God, but yeah, that does not seem so real to me. I don't feel anything. It does not have an impression in my heart. And yet, congregation, when the Lord will speak through his word, then how different that becomes. Or then the Lord is giving faith to believe his word. And when the Lord gives faith to believe it, then we receive a certainty and a sureness which is above everything else that we could receive in this world. Then there is no doubt in it, although doubt that may live next to it. Thus this vision, what is this vision that Habakkuk has received? That vision that is an answer upon his burden. And that is always so. The Lord is not speaking out into the air. The Lord is not wasting his grace, but the Lord is making room first for his word, and then the Lord is speaking through his word. Habakkuk had a burden. We have heard about that burden. What was it? It was the people of the Lord. It was the affliction of that people. It was the crosses under which that people did suffer. Is that sometimes also our burden? Habakkuk has seen that people, they were persecuted. There was spoiling. There was violence. The poor were not redressed. Wrong judgment proceeded. And Habakkuk had laid that before the Lord. And the Lord had given Habakkuk an answer. What did he say? He said, Habakkuk, the Chaldeans are going to come, and I myself am going to punish by those Chaldeans, those wicked Jews. But with that answer, that concern of Habakkuk, that has only increased. Then he says, will the Lord then destroy his people? How can that be? No, he says, we shall not die. That cannot be. That is the people of the Lord. Art thou not, O God, from everlasting? And yet, why? Why is the Lord dealing with his people in such a way that the wicked should devour that man that is more righteous than he? And now the Lord gives an answer to Habakkuk upon his complaint by way of that vision. And then we can read what that vision was from verses 5 to verse 20 to the end of that chapter. Yea, also because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell and is as death and cannot be satisfied, and so on. What is it? The Lord declares his judgments now upon those Chaldeans. The Lord says that the time is coming, Habakkuk, not only that those Chaldeans shall be used as a scourge against my people, but the time is also coming that I am going to punish those Chaldeans. It is true that the Chaldeans were raised up by the Lord himself as a scourge in his hand to chastise his own people. But we can read here that those Chaldeans will remain guilty. It was in their heart to destroy the people of the Lord. It was in their heart to raise themselves up against God and his church. And therefore, the Lord is pronouncing woe upon those Chaldeans, because they did not keep themselves at home, and because their desire was enlarged as hell. Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood and establish it with iniquity. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink and so on. The Chaldeans, the Lord says, those Chaldeans, they lay under the curse. And the time is coming that they will experience that curse. From the beginning of the world, even to this day, then there have been times that the heathen have, in an outward way, been victorious over that church of God. Oh, there were times that Satan roared as a lion amongst God's people. And that church that was scattered abroad over all the world, just as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord has used the world as a scourge in his hand to draw his people unto himself and to give his people what is necessary, that impression that they have here below. No continuing city. But the wicked will not go without punishment. They are raised up as a Pharaoh, but they will finally be destroyed. And what does that mean now for the true church of God? That means that that church will be delivered. They will be delivered from that enemy who is exalting himself against God's people. And that is that word of the Lord to Habakkuk, who is sending him amongst the children of Israel with a message. Or they will not be in bondage forever. But that bondage that is going to come, that is also going to have an end when the Lord has completed his purpose. Thus, Habakkuk has a message. And what kind of message is that to Judah? It is a message, congregation, of comfort in all their afflictions. It is a message of deliverance. And it is a message that is pointing ultimately to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ upon this world to deliver his church from all their enemies and from Satan himself. So many prophecies in God's word have multiple fulfillments. That means they are not fulfilled only in a literal way. In, for example, the deliverance out of that land of Babylon. But they are speaking also about another, a greater deliverance for the ecclesiastical church of God. How do we know that? We can read this in the New Testament, in the application of the apostles of those Old Testament prophecies. The whole of the scriptures that is for the comfort of the afflicted church of God. It is for their instruction. And what is now the only comfort for God's true church that lies, congregation, in that mediator? Why? Because he is the only one that is able to reconcile that people again unto God. But for this, there is also an appointed time. That is our second thought, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. What does the Lord say? He says, the church that will also be delivered, but that deliverance from Babylon is not going to happen right away. He says it is going to be a while before that deliverance is coming. And indeed, we know, do you know, boys and girls, how long that captivity was? That was not 1 week or 2 weeks. Was not 1 month or 2 months, no. But it was 70 long, long years. What do you think about that? For those 70 years, then those people in captivity, they had to wait. And waiting is no easy work. No, especially in our days. We are people that have no patience. Everything that goes so fast, and we want it to go faster and faster. In general, man is in a hurry. Congregation, the Lord is not in a hurry. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years they are as one day. And waiting, that is then the work of God's church here below. We read that so often in the Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ was promised to our first parents in the day of their fall. But the promise was not fulfilled for 4,000 years. Therefore, we read of Simeon that he waited for the consolation of Israel. At the pool of Bethesda, we read there of a man who was waiting. He was waiting for the moving of the water. A man that had that infirmity for 38 years. Years. David says, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Is that you too? My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. Yea, I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Waiting. The work of that church. Moses was born in such an awful time. You know that too, boys and girls, right? What happened in that time that Moses was born and all those baby boys, they were thrown into the river this morning. Little baby, little child was brought so quickly to the hospital. And then we see how fast also your little life that can be snuffed out. Oh, that happens so often, not by accidents, but that happens so often on purpose in the days that Moses was just a little baby. And when Moses was born, though those times they were so awful, those people of Israel, they had still to wait 80 years before that they would be delivered. 80 years. Why is that? That God's church that has to wait so long, that is not because it is a necessity from God's side, but it is because it's a necessity from their own side. When Moses was 40 years old, then he went out to the people, but the people were not ready to receive his help. Thus, there must be room for deliverance in the life of God's church. They had to wait another 40 years until that time was ripe, until that people was broken enough that they are ready to receive that help from above. And then what? Then they thought to come in a few days into that land of Canaan. But then they had to spend another 40 years congregation in the wilderness. There in that wilderness, it would become evident what that people really were. Would become evident what really lay in the heart of that people. That they were a stiff-necked and a rebellious people. It is in the wilderness that the children of God, they are learning what is laying in their own wretched and evil heart. Through the afflictions, through the crosses, then to experience the rebellion that is within. And that my will, that is not so subject unto the will of God that I thought it was when I lived in all those days of prosperity. It is in the wilderness that that inward corruption that is experienced and the necessity of deliverance is made known, not from that enemy that is outside, but from the enemy that is on the inside. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Congregation of ourselves, we cannot wait. The Lord takes too long. Saul could not wait. He thought that he knew better. And if he would wait the Lord's time, then the enemy, that they would be completely upon him. So he has gone ahead of the Lord. Abraham, how long did he wait? He waited for a long, long time. But even Abraham, in the end, he could not wait any longer. He thought, because he had to wait so long, he thought that he was doing something wrong. And he thought that maybe he had to use a different means, that he could help the Lord to fulfill his own promise. And when something came of that, then Abraham even thought that this was the fulfillment of the promise. Or in that time of waiting, the devil is so busy to attempt to overthrow everything in the life of God's people, to extinguish all the hope that they had in God. Was the temptation of Asaph, will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? When the times, they go over that work of God, then indeed the chaff is blown away, but also that kernel. Also that kernel that is assailed, that wheat in the life of God's church. David also knew of it. Let us sing. Psalter 22, 1, 2, and 3. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, thou God of grace? How long shall fears beset me while darkness hides thy face? How long shall griefs distress me and turn my day to night? How long shall foes oppress me and triumph in their might? 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter number 22. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come and not tarry. Congregation, because the time is long, does not take away from the certainty of the fulfillment of the promise of the Lord. From the side of God's church, then it can seem so, but it is not the reality. The fulfillment has to come. Why? Joseph did not reveal himself to his brethren the first time that he met them. Why not? Because they were still honest men. Joseph had so much work first to do unto his brethren before that he could reveal himself to them. But he would not hide himself forever. Why not? It could not be. And why could it not be? Because bowels of Joseph himself, they are yearning upon his brethren. The necessity of the revelation of the deliverance of God's church that does not lie on the side of the people, but it's necessary, congregation, from the side of the Lord. What did the Lord Jesus say? The Lord Jesus himself prayed unto his Father. He says, Father, I will that they should be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. It's not because of the desire of God's church, no, but it is because of the desire of the eternal and triune God. So we see that bridegroom, he is knocking on the door of the heart of that bride. Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, for my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. And the only reason that he is withdrawing himself and that he is hiding his face from his bride is that he may draw his bride more closely unto himself. Oh, therefore, the deliverance that has to come, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And because that time will be long, the Lord gives a command unto Habakkuk. What does he say? And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. In that time of waiting, the Lord is not leaving his church destitute, without hope, and without comfort. Habakkuk has to write the vision. What does it mean? That means that he has to communicate that vision unto that church of God for her comfort. Everything still lies in the future for that church. But there is going to come a time when that church is going to need that message so greatly. What Habakkuk now speaks in the ears of that people, when they are still in that land of Judah, oh, that will be so easily forgotten. But the Lord, he is causing it to be written down and to be preserved for the church when they are in the time of their greatest need. And he must make it plain upon tables that he that runneth may run that readeth it. Oh, then it means that he has to write it in large letters that it may be so plain unto those people. And for what? It is for the upholding of God's church when they are in the strife. While the deliverance is still waiting, then the Lord will not be a land of outer darkness unto his people. Oh, what a care that the Lord is taking for his own church, even in that time when he is forced to hide his face from his church for their own good. That sometimes, in that time, that the Lord is saying, arise and eat, for the journey that will be too great for you. Oh, it is. It was in the middle of that instruction that Joseph has to give unto his brethren. In the middle of that instruction, that Joseph invites his brothers to eat with him. Did they know who he was? No. Were they delivered? No. And yet, they may experience something of the joy of eating with Joseph. Thus, in that time of waiting, all that church is mysterious, given an upholding hand out of even those brothers in their fear when they have come with that extra money they had received in their hands. Then they are giving that to the steward. And that steward is speaking. Do you read that when you come home, what that steward says to those brothers? They say, peace. Peace be, he says, peace be to you. Fear not, he says. Your God and the God of your father, he has given you treasure in your sacks. He says, I had your money. No, they were not yet delivered. No, they did not yet see who that Joseph was. And yet they may receive comforts from that Joseph along the way. Congregation, we have to close. Do you know what that waiting is? No, we don't speak about a waiting in carelessness. Because you say, well, the Lord has to do it all. He is a sovereign God. I cannot do anything anyway. Oh, congregation, that is nothing more than rebellion. That is laying in our heart. When we do this, we work out our own. Or we provoke God to leave us forever and forever to ourselves. Don't do it. God is so good to us. Oh, may we labor to see that. How that the Lord provides for you and I, whose daily life is not what it ought to be. Oh, seek to bow your knees. Seek to come into his favor. Seek to come into his communion. But are there those that know something of that standing upon that watchtower? Oh, to hear what the Lord has to say to me.
Are there those who are looking, that are looking for an answer, who are grieved because of your life, who are grieved because of what lives in your heart, and who cannot be separated from God anymore, who do not know how to take away that separation, who cannot make it right between God and your soul, and who cannot see anything of that way of deliverance that God is revealing unto his own people. Oh, that deliverance that seems so, so far away, and that it belongs only to that true church of God. Oh, are there those that need the Lord to speak, that the Lord would say it to your soul, and that you may experience the power of it within your own soul? Those for whom that it takes so long that you fear that it will never, never be. Maybe even those for whom the promise that they thought that the Lord had spoken to your soul, or that you say that promise that comes to absolutely nothing. I had rested on it. I had hoped upon it. I had spoken about it to my wife, to my husband, unto my children. And now, because that time is so long, oh, now I fear that still I will perish one day at that hand of Saul. We cannot say that you are not mistaken in it, of course, because that is, congregation, also possible. We have a deceitful heart. But we will only say this. Those are more likely to be mistaken that have received it in a hurry. Because in general, we say in general because we cannot limit the Lord, but in general, that is not the Lord's way. There is something unnatural about it. Isaac said to Jacob when he came too fast into that tent, "How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?" Isaac knew how long that it normally takes. There was something so unnatural about Jacob returning so quickly into that tent that he suspected it. And indeed, it turned out to be all deceit. But in those trials that are attending that true work of God in the church, then the Lord, he says, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry." Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou remember thy own children and give them to wait upon thee? And wilt thou come in thy own time to give them a token from above and to give them faith to believe it, Lord, forgive all that was sinful in speaking and in listening, and crown it with thy blessing for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 72. 72 stanzas 1 through 4. Lord, hear me when I pray, and answer me in grace. And what follows, 72, 1 through 4.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Bless.